Our scripture reading for this morning is from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 4, verses 3b through 10. Jesus left Judea and returned to the province of Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way, and around noon, he approached the village of Sychar. He came to Jacob's well, which was located on the parcel of land Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jesus was tired from the long walk in the hot sun and sat wearily beside the well. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus asked her for a drink. He was alone at the time, as his disciples had gone into the village to buy food. The woman was surprised that a Jew would ask our despised Samaritan for anything. Usually they wouldn't even speak to them. And she remarked to Jesus about this. He replied, "If you only knew the precious gift that God has for you and who I am, you would ask me for living water." May God add his blessing to the reading of this holy word. Our song of meditation this morning is Jerry's favorite, In the Garden, and it's number 398.
may be surprised to see me here today, and others of you may even be offended. But I wanted to tell you how my life was changed by one man this week. It happened at Jacob's well. Now, as most of you know, I can't go to the well at the same time that everybody else can go. Oh, all the rest of the women go in the cool of the morning, and they're laughing and talking about their children as they gather the water for the day. But not me. I have to go in the heat of the day at noontime when the sun is blazing down. But at least the roads are empty and deserted then, so there's no one there to spit on me or curse me. You know, I almost didn't go on Tuesday because it was so hot. But I needed water for the day. I needed water to wash and cook. And so I took my water jug and I walked all the way out in the heat to the well. However, I was surprised when I got there to see that there was someone at the well at that time. But I knew it was a stranger. I'd never seen him before. And I was even more surprised when he spoke to me. And what he said was kind of unusual. He said, "Please give me a drink of water." Now, hardly anybody speaks to me at all, and certainly not at the well. And I knew this man was a Jew because of the way he was dressed and his accent. But I was a little annoyed because he obviously had been sitting there for a while, cooling off. And I had just walked there in the hot sun. And so I said, "Who are you to be asking me for a drink of water?" He had to know that we Samaritans and Jews have nothing to do with each other. We don't talk to each other, let alone drink out of the same cup. So I was really kind of angry and annoyed. And then he said the strangest thing. He said, "Well, if you knew what a wonderful gift God has for you and who it is that is asking, you would be asking me for some living water." Well, I thought that sounded kind of strange because he had just been asking me for water and now he was saying he would give me some water. Well, I said, "You know, how are you going to get any water? You don't have a rope, you don't have a bucket, and this well is deep." I thought maybe he thought he was some kind of miracle worker. So I let him know that our father Jacob had dug this well himself and that he had drank from it, as did his sons and his cattle. And did he think himself better than our father Jacob? Well, then he continued saying strange things, and he said, "If you drink this water, then you will be thirsty. But if you drink the water that I give you, you will never thirst again, and it will be like a fountain welling up inside of you." Well, I had never heard of such a thing. I was beginning to think that he was some kind of a nut. But then I thought, you know, if he does have this, then, you know, it would mean that I would never have to come to the well again. I would never have to take the abuse from my neighbors. So I said, "Okay, give me some of this water, if it means that I don't have to come back to the well every day." And then he said, "Go get your husband." I got to tell you, I froze in a spot. And then I thought, what does that have to do with this water? You know, I thought, should I get angry because he's getting a little too personal here? How could he possibly know about me? And then I thought, well, I could lie because he wouldn't know the difference. So I said, "I have no husband." Which was true. Well, sort of. But he didn't know that. Until he said, "That's true." And I thought, how does he know that's true? And then he went on to say, "You've had 5 husbands. And the man you're living with right now, you're not married to." I got to tell you, he was beginning to scare me. He knew more about me than I wanted him to know. But how did he know? And so I said, "You know, you must be some kind of a prophet." I thought, well, maybe he was some religious leader, although he didn't look like one. And if he was one, then he certainly wouldn't be talking to a woman in public, and certainly not a woman like me. And yet he knew what I was. And he was talking to me. Well, I thought, well, if he's some kind of a rabbi or something, then I'll ask him some religious question to get him off the subject of me. So I said, why do the Jews say that Jerusalem is the only place to worship when we Samaritans say that Mount Gerizim is the place to worship? And he said something like, you know, well, the time's going to come when it won't matter where you worship because God is a spirit and we can, you know, worship him in spirit and truth. And then he said that we Samaritans don't know that much about God, but the Jews know more because salvation will come to them. I got to tell you, this made me so mad. Who was he to come along and say that we Samaritans didn't know very much about God? Now, I'm not the most religious person in the world, but, you know, I had been taught as a child. So I let him know that we Samaritans weren't ignorant, that we knew that the Messiah is coming sometime and he'll tell us everything. I wasn't going to let this guy get away with saying that we Jews, the Jews knew more than us. And the Messiah would come and he would know more than this guy. But by then I was so annoyed that I just turned around to get my water. I just wanted to get it and get out of there. And then ever so quietly, almost inaudibly, I heard him say, I am the Messiah. I wasn't sure that I heard right, and I slowly turned and I looked at him. And I've got to tell you, the look in his eyes was the most loving, kind expression. Nobody had ever looked at me like that before. And all of a sudden, I was no longer angry or irritated. And I just began to look at him, and all of a sudden, it dawned on me that he really might be the Messiah. It was just a second or two, and then some men came along. I think they were friends of his. And all of a sudden, I turned, and I started back toward town. And pretty soon, I started to run, and I ran all the way to town. I forgot about how hot and tired and thirsty I was. I ran right through the main gate, something I never do. I always go in the side gates and walk the back alleyways. You know, some of you were there when I came in shouting, and some of you pushed me aside and turned your backs on me, but I didn't care. I just began grabbing people and telling them that I'd met a man who told me everything I'd ever done. And I wanted them to come back with me to tell me if he really was the awaited one. Now, some of you pushed me aside and said I was crazy or lying. But finally, I got some people to listen to me. And I told them all that he had told me. And I said, come back with me and tell me whether he is the Messiah. And I finally got some people who were willing to go with me. I don't know if it's because they believed me or they were curious or whether they hoped that he was. And so we went back out to the well and he was still there talking to his friends. And so we sat around and we listened to him for a couple of hours. And then it got late in the day and we begged him to stay. And he stayed two more days with us. More people heard him and more people believed in him. Some of you here heard him, but I don't know if all of you believe in him. And that's why I'm here today, to tell you that he knows everything about you and he doesn't care what you've done. He knew everything about me, and yet he didn't condemn me. He didn't call me names. He didn't mock me. He didn't give me a long list of things that I had to do like the religious leaders. He wasn't a critic, but a friend. He didn't condemn me, but he understood and he loved me. And it was because of that acceptance that I believed in him. And I think now I understand what he was talking about, this living water. He wasn't talking about water to quench my physical thirst. He was talking about water to quench my spiritual thirst. And just as he said, I just feel like there's a spring inside me. He offers this living water to anyone who will take it. He knows all about you and he doesn't care. He still loves you and accepts you as you are. Is your soul parched with thirst today? Is your spirit longing for a place of healing? Do you look for a place to belong? He says, come to me and accept God's gift of living water. It's yours for the taking. And I can assure you that this living water will sustain you through the driest days and the weariest of times. it will change your life. You can see that my life was changed because of that stranger who met me at the well. His name is Jesus. Let him fill your cup and make you whole.
Thank you, Claire. There may be some here today who have never taken that cup of water from Jesus, have never dipped into the well that he offers us. And perhaps today is the day for you to say, "Yes, Lord, I accept that, and I accept you to be the Lord of my life." And if you are in that place today, I'm going to ask you during our final hymn to come and join me up front. Not an easy thing to do, but if he is calling you to follow him, you need to follow that leading. Or perhaps today you need to make a decision, a commitment to be part of this body of Christ, to say, "This is where I want to be and be a part and invest my talents here." Or perhaps maybe something's going on in your life and you just need him to fill you with that living water. For any of those reasons, I'm going to ask if you would come and join me down front during the singing of our hymn. And I can tell you from first-hand experience that if your heart is pounding out of your chest,
That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Let us turn to our final hymn and sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, hymn number 435. And I invite you to join me if you have any commitment to make this morning. 435. These words from Revelation, let the one who is thirsty come, let the one who wishes receive life-giving water as a gift. Depart now in the fellowship of God the Father, and as you go, remember in the goodness of God you were brought into this world. By the grace of God you've been kept all the day long, even until this very hour, and by the love of God, fully revealed in Jesus Christ, you and I are being redeemed. at the town hall meeting, move up front. Hey, Jim, how are you? Turn this off, so I'm not.